We're going to continue in our series today that deals with armed and dangerous. We've been going over the armor of God and taking a look at what that means and how you live that out. So if you haven't joined us, you can always go back and check out the videos if you want, but there's six pieces, right? And we've gone over, there's three that you're to constantly have. There's three that you take up as needed. And so we've gone over the first three. We talked about having the belt of, you remember, truth? We talked about the breastplate of what? Righteousness. And we have to have feet of, do you remember? Peace. Yeah, feet of peace. That's to be the way that we roll. That's how we're supposed to live life. And then the other three you take up. You take up the helmet of salvation. You take up the shield of faith. You take up the sword of the Spirit. Last week, we covered the shield of faith. And so today, I want to talk to you about the helmet of salvation. I want to make some observations, because if you were like me when you were young, or you were, you know, as a kid and learned this, or maybe even as an adult and it's just your first time hearing it, putting on the armor of God, how do you put on this invisible armor that I can't see? And so we talked about it being truth, righteousness, and peace. But then those three you have. The others you take up. You take up a shield when the attack comes. And today we're going to talk about taking up and putting on that helmet of salvation. I never understood that when I was young. But it's not about necessarily physically putting on a helmet, but it's about in the invisible realm when a spiritual attack is going on. And really, it should be our everyday life. That we live in truth, righteousness, and peace. But he says, last week, take up the shield. This week, put on the helmet of salvation. He says that we are to take the helmet of salvation. Paul says that if to stand firm, basically, in this, what Christ has already done. Not just what he's going to do, but what it is that he's already done. And he says that when the enemy comes in and starts to attack, he said, you better have your armor on. So what does that mean, put on the helmet of salvation? He tells us to take this and to put it on like a helmet. He didn't say a hat. He didn't say a beanie. He didn't say, you know, any other. He said a helmet. Now, we have, I believe, I don't know if it's this week, but if it's coming up, the NFL season's going to start, and football will once again ensue, right? But every time I watch football, I don't know about you, every player on the field has a helmet. Every player. The only one that doesn't have a helmet, by the way, is the referee, and that's because they're the ones that's calling the shots, right? But every football player has a helmet on their head. Why do they wear a helmet? Well, it's an obvious answer. It's to protect them. It's to keep them safe. So when the enemy comes in, or the defense, or whatever it is, and hits them, it protects their head. It's something that they wear. I've never been or seen a football game where they all went out there without their helmets and played football. That would be ridiculous, because they would become injured so quickly. And here's the reason they wear the helmet. It's to protect the head and keep the brain, right? Is what they're doing. They're trying to keep the brain from getting damaged, hurt, concussed. Because that will happen. You know, I can laugh at it now, but I couldn't, you know, when I was younger, because I experienced three concussions in 18 months, a span there. If you've never had a concussion, you might be like, oh, well, you know, that stinks. But no, it was bad. When there's a concussion and the brain gets rattled and it throws everything off, depending on how hard you got hit, or, you know, there's so many different environmental things that can take place, it really messes with the body, because when the mind gets jarred, your body doesn't know what to do. And so it just tries to keep going. And so when you have one concussion, that's bad. But when you have another one after your first one, that just kind of adds to it. And then when you have a third one, you end up like this. I got in a minor car accident, and I had an officer show up, and he asked me, what did I do or what happened? And I'm like, I don't know. I couldn't remember. I didn't know what was going on. My thoughts were all jumbled. I couldn't remember what took place. And by the way, that officer's my good friend now. That's how we had to meet, I guess, maybe. I don't know. But then the second one, I fell down a flight of stairs, and bam, I hit my head into the wall. The next thing I remember is waking up in an ambulance with somebody asking me if I'm okay. No, I'm not okay. I'm in a strange vehicle with a bunch of men. What's going on here, you know? And then the third time, if I remember right, we were moving some furniture around, and I lifted something up and I rammed my head into a shelf. And it wasn't pretty, you know? I got disoriented. I got lightheaded and dizzy. You know, I felt a little nauseous. It just really affected me that way. Why? Well, because when something happens here, it affects the rest of the body. It affects everything that goes on. You know, I remember back in that day, I was the youth pastor. Lisa and I were youth pastors. And they decided for appreciation to show how much they loved their youth pastor. So they did the top 10 reasons why we love our youth pastor. And they went through a number of things, just kind of poking and jabbing and making fun. It seemed like every time we did a winter retreat, there was a blizzard. And one particular year, I had a flat, our kids were sick or something like that. We had to leave early. And that left our youth leader, Bill Jackson, to change my tire in the blizzard. And so, you know, number two was, you know, they were kind of making fun of that. But the number one reason they loved their youth pastor, and one of the other youth leaders came out with his head all bandaged up, and he's kind of walking across the stage like this. And they said, what other youth pastor can have more concussions than an NFL player and still come back for more? To which I think that, I think I laughed at that. I can't quite remember, you know, concussions, right? What happens when you experience a blow like that in the physical realm is it jars you and it affects everything else about your body, the way you walk, the way you talk, whether you walk or talk. It shakes you up. And the reason you wear a helmet when it comes to sports or it comes to work, you know, safety, and they put the helmets on is because if the brain gets damaged, then it impedes the whole function of the body. Now, I'm not sure, but I think I just said I have brain damage, maybe. But you get my point. It affects everything about you. So Paul's using this physical concept, and he says, put on the helmet of salvation. When you're going through a battle, when you're going through a difficult season, when there's a challenge that's coming your way, he says, you put on the belt of truth. You take the breastplate of righteousness. You have the feet of peace. But he says, but when that enemy is coming in, grab your shield, grab your helmet, grab your sword. And we'll get to the sword next week, sword of the Spirit. But he says, put on the helmet of salvation. In other words, guard your mind. Submit that to God. God, and say this, God, what do you think about this situation? Because this world is ready to tell you what it thinks you should do. Your friends are ready to tell you what they think you should do. Your spouse can even think, you know, they know what to tell you what to do. I'm not saying that advice is bad, but I'm saying it should start with, God, Jesus, what do you have to say? What do you have to say about this situation? Or when you know that that attack is coming, that's when you put on. I remember as a kid, my mom and dad were doing this series in church, and they would literally, you know, today we put on the belt of truth, and they'd do this. We put on the breastplate of righteousness. We shod our feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. And I'm like, man, they're doing a workout is what they're doing, you know. And I take up the shield, and I take up the sword. Now, whether you go through those motions and do that does not matter. Okay? Do it if you want to. But my point is simply this. You are praying and saying, today, Jesus, I'm putting on that helmet of salvation because if I'm left with my own thoughts today and what I'm thinking and what I feel, everybody's in trouble. So, Jesus, I need your mind on this. I need your mind on this matter with my kids and what's going on. I need your mind in this season of my marriage. I need your mind in this move that we're making. He's saying that when you know there's an attack, he says, put on the helmet of salvation and let it be something that guards you and protects you. But what is that? What does that mean? Just three things I'm going to hit today about the helmet of salvation. And here's number one. The helmet of salvation is a mindset that we must choose. It's a mindset. And here's the things, two things that we got to grab right away. It's a mindset and it's a choice. We must choose to take the helmet and put it on. What does that mean? What does that look like in my life? It means that when you think you're right, but God says something else, you choose God's way over yours. It's a choice. Knowing what God thinks about something is one thing. That's good. I love it when God finally speaks to me. You know what I mean? God, what do you say in this matter? And he says, I want you to do this. Okay, but now I still have to choose to do it. I still have to walk that out in obedience. But he says, you start with putting on the helmet of salvation, and it's a mindset. You get the mind of Christ on this. That's why it says in Romans chapter 12, verse 2, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your what? Your mind. Your mind. And it goes on to say, so that you may prove what is the will of God, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. Too many times, we allow our choices to be dictated by our mindset or our mindset is dictating our choices. But what he's saying here is he says, put on the helmet of salvation, which means you're taking both your mindset and your choices, and you're submitting them to God and saying, what do you say? What is it that I should do with this, Jesus? That's how you put on the helmet of salvation. And what it does is it guards your mind. Because when you're constantly asking the Lord for his perspective on any situation that you're going through, what you will find is that the enemy can't break through. He can't penetrate that because you are protected by the very Spirit of God. So your body is controlled by your brain, right? Okay, do this with me. Count of three, everyone, raise your right hand. One, two, three. Now, y'all did that because your brain told you to do it, right? Okay, so you see how that all functions, right? But your mind, when I talk about your mind, this is the part of your soul. We're all made of body, soul, and spirit. And in our soul is our mind, our will, and our emotions. And he says, I want not just your brain to be fixed on me, but I want your mind. I want what you dwell on, what you think about. I'll get to that in a minute. You need to let your mind in that dwell in the presence of God. He says the brain, the mind must be protected to absorb the shock from the hit that the enemy tries to bring in to our world. This is not it's kind of a sad illustration, but it makes my point because each and every one of us have probably experienced someone in our life, a loved one that has gone through Alzheimer's. And what that is all about is it's when the brain is no longer able to function the way it once did. You know, it starts to deteriorate. And we can understand that, right? We've seen it, or it, maybe it's a loved one that we saw, we walked them through that. And it's very sad because what's happening is as the brain deteriorates, the body does so with it. Because the body only does what the brain is telling it to do. And it got me to wonder that maybe we have this armor not so much just to be protected, but so that we could have some health in our life. Because otherwise, if left to our own abilities, could we be experiencing some spiritual Alzheimer's, if you will, where things are deteriorating and we're wondering what happened in our walk with Christ? Why am I not as vibrant as I once used to be? Or if God chooses to go a different direction, are you going to be ready to listen and follow the Lord? He says, put on the helmet of salvation. It starts there because then your mindset and your choices are submitted to the will of God. It does not mean that you will never experience a bad thought, okay? Having the mind of Christ doesn't mean that you're not going to experience bad thoughts. And I'm pointing that out because for years I used to think, you know, I want to live for Jesus. I want to have a good mind. What I wanted was perfection is what I wanted. And if I had a bad thought, I thought, man, I'm a bad person. I'm a bad Christian because I had a bad thought. But you see, the thoughts that come into your mind, you may not be able to stop them from coming, but you can stop them from staying. Can we agree on that? The thought may come into your mind, but just because it does, doesn't make you a bad person or any less of a Christian. All he's saying is don't give it a permanent address. Don't give it a mailing address. Don't let it take up residence in your mind, rent-free, wreaking havoc in your life, you know, stirring up anxiety and worry and all that crazy stuff. He says, put on the helmet of salvation and surrender that to Christ. You know, people sometimes, haven't asked me in a while, but people would ask me when I'd say something like this, they'd say, well, do you have bad thoughts? Well, yes, of course I do. I'm human, just like you. Just because I'm a pastor doesn't mean I don't have bad thoughts, but the difference is what you do with them. You know, I'm your typical guy. When I go to the store and that guy, you know what I mean by that guy? That guy parks so close to my car that I can't open my door. What happens is in my head, I think, man, I wish I had a junky car so I could just open that door and smash his car. But you see, I thought it, but the only difference between it boils down to this. I didn't act upon what I thought. You may have the thought, but it doesn't mean you have to act upon it. And that's what makes all the difference in the world. If the enemy can get you to act on every impulse, we're all going to be in trouble. We're all going to be in trouble. He'll have a heyday with your life. And that's why sometimes we feel like we're losing the battle. because these thoughts will come and we don't know what to do with them. And right here, Paul says that through Christ, he said, put on the helmet of salvation. Allow it to renew your mind. In the context here, we're to have this helmet on in the spiritual battle because it's in an invisible realm is where it's taking place. And this is where we can have the victory when we put it on properly. The context is dealing with the fact that we're under attack, first of all. Let me use the football analogy again real quick. When a football game is taking place, even if you don't know much about football, pretty much everyone knows who the quarterback is, don't they? Okay, so they get the ball, and they are constantly under attack. The defense is always coming after them because the defense wants to make them inefficient and ineffective for their team. They don't want them to score. They don't want them to win, so the enemies or the defense is always after them. But here's the thing. Sitting high above the quarterback, up in a booth, up in the nicer areas, they're looking down on the field is a guy called the offensive coordinator. And here's what he's doing. The quarterback is on the field, and he might not be able to see everything that's going on, but the one that's up in the booth can see everything. And he can see the way that the defense is planning to come at them, and then he will call in plays accordingly to the quarterback. And guess where he speaks it to them now? They got technology that's so great. Built into the helmets is the technology that they can speak right into his helmet. And they can call in plays. And the offensive coordinator will call in a specific play based on the defense that's coming at them. It's the same thing when you put on the helmet of salvation. You say, I'm choosing to have the mindset of Christ. And all of a sudden, Christ starts to speak to you. And he will speak right into your very heart, right into your very mind about what it is that you need to do. But it won't work if you don't put the helmet on. You know what I mean by put the helmet on? It won't work if you don't have that mindset, if you don't surrender, if you don't submit. Let me illustrate it this way as well. I brought two pictures with me today. And go ahead and throw those up. Let's take a look at those. Picture number one, which will be on the left, is a cornfield that you are in. Picture number two, on the right, is a cornfield, but looking from above. You're looking at an aerial view of what's taking place here. Which one do you think is easier to get from point A to point B in? Well, I think we can all agree it's going to be the one on the right. Why? Because I can see everything. I can see where to start. I can see where the end is. And so I can eventually make my way through there. But here's the reality. You and I, we're living in picture number one on the left. That's our world. The other picture is God's view when he looks down. And he can see everything. So when you're going through the cornfield of life and you're wondering what direction to go, he can call in and say, go to the left. And you can go to the left or not. You still got to obey. You still got to follow through. Lord, what do I do with this job? Take it or leave it. Job, what do I do with this relationship? Lord, what am I not doing that I need to start doing? All the questions and all those things that you have in your heart, he speaks to you because he can see the big picture. He knows exactly what is taking place. Back to that offensive coordinator up in the football booth. He's watching what the enemy is doing down there. He's watching the movement of the enemy in order to inform his man on the field how he can be more effective. It's exactly what Jesus wants to do with you and me. But we've got to put on the helmet of salvation. It's a mindset. It's a choice that we must make. Number two, write this down. Helmet of salvation. It must define our perceptions. It must define our perceptions. You and I act on, a lot of times, you and I act on our self-perception, how we perceive ourselves, how we feel about ourselves. And based upon how we feel is how we function. But yet, Jesus is telling us, he says, put on, let me speak into your spirit. Let me give you some direction. Because sometimes our perceptions will lead us in the wrong direction, won't they? They'll do that. That's why we have to have the mind of Christ. When I was younger, I had a wrong perception of myself. I'm not blaming, it's nobody's fault. You know how it is when you just believe something to be true, even if it's not true, because you believe it to be truth. you act upon that truth. And I was really skinny as a teenager. I mean, like skinny, like my son's skinny, if you've seen him lately. You know, I look at him sometimes and I'm like, dang, you know, you were just, whew. And then I'm like, wait, that's how I was. What happened? And when I was a kid, I mean, I was skinny, so I'd play basketball, I'd go inside. You could see my ribs and all that stuff. And I walked into the house, and there were some friends, my parents' friends were over and all that. And this is what I remembered. And again, I'm not blaming anybody. It's just something that I believed. I walked in, and they looked at me and went, ooh, what's wrong with you? And they said, look at you. And they looked at me like I had leprosy. You know what I mean? And I'm like, I'm fine, aren't I? You know, is what I'm thinking. I don't know. And they said, oh, my gosh, you look so skinny. And they looked at me like I was just some pathetic, diseased, you know, like a puppy that had been hit by a car but isn't quite dead yet kind of thing, you know. And they're like, ooh, and they're, you know, wanting to touch my ribs but not. And from that moment on, I believe something was wrong with me. I know it sounds silly, but we do this in many different ways. My perception from that point on was, I'm so skinny, there's something wrong with me. And because I believed that to be truth, I started acting upon that perception I had. So all of a sudden, before you know it, I started drinking milkshakes all the time. Then I started adding weight gaining powder, you know, to the milkshake, and I'd drink that, trying to build up some weight because I perceived something was wrong with me. And then my actions tried to fix something that wasn't even broken. By the way, I'd like to report to you that I'm no longer having that problem with skinniness. She's long gone. But it was my perception. If you have a faulty mind, so that self-perception about you, about yourself, you're going to function in a faulty way. And you will function in a way that is real, but could be really wrong if you don't have on the helmet of salvation. If you don't say, Jesus, speak to me, guard my mind. Lord, I know I'm frustrated. Help me with that. Give me your thoughts on this situation. You see, just because whatever you're going through, just because it's real doesn't mean it's right, what you're feeling. Or just because it's you doesn't mean that it's correct. You can develop a pattern of thinking a certain way, and you'll want to get things that maybe don't belong to you, that God never intended for you to have. That's why we need to make sure that we have the mind of Christ, because what this world is going to offer to you and offers to me is a virtual reality. That's what the world is offering. The world is offering, the enemy is offering the same thing. Virtual reality, and I'm not dogging it. I mean, it can be cool. I came home one day, and I walked in the room, and my wife had these virtual reality goggles on her face. And she's with Seth at that time, was in Drumline. He had all his buddies over, and they were playing a game. I don't remember what the game was. All I know is I walked in, and I saw my wife with these, you know, gigantic Star Wars-looking goggles, and she's swinging stuff through the air doing this. She was playing a game that was in the virtual realm. It wasn't reality, but it sure felt like it was. It was fun to play. It was a way to escape what was going on in the real world. You see what I'm talking about here? And the enemy will do the same thing. He'll try to get you to live in this virtual world where it's not reality, and he doesn't even really care what it is that's virtual about it, as long as it separates you from Christ. As long as it separates you from spending time and getting close to Jesus, that is why he says, put on the helmet of salvation. Put on the helmet. Get Christ's mind on the matter. You have to know what it is that God is saying. We went, Lisa and I, when we were in Bible college, we didn't have a lot of money, and it was our anniversary. We didn't have a lot of time either. We paid as we went. So we got up at 8 in the morning, went to school till about noon, would have lunch, we'd go to work, get home at 11 o'clock at night, get up and do it all over again. But we had this one time where it was our anniversary, and we had time off. Because we lived in Texas, they had Six Flags there. Six Flags over Texas. And the season pass was only $35 because we were from out of state. So we're like, let's buy each other a season pass so we can go whenever we want, thinking we were going to get back there someday. But this particular day we went and we rode the Texas Giant. It was a wooden roller coaster. At the time, it was the largest wooden roller coaster I think in the world, but I'm not sure, but it was big, okay? And we got on this thing, and she's the adventurous one, okay? I'm semi-adventurous. And I got on this thing, and, you know, remember it's wooden, so it's clickety-clackety and all that stuff, you know. We get on this thing, and we're going up, and we're shaking all around. And I'm thinking, oh, what did I get myself into? You know, and as we're climbing this hill, all of a sudden there was a moment at the very top where it was so peaceful and so quiet. We saw the whole park. I could see Texas Rangers Stadium. I saw God's favorite team, the Dallas Cowboys, over there. It was just phenomenal. And then the bottom dropped out. We went over that hill. And you're, the wind is blowing, and you're screaming, but nobody can hear you. Your lung is hanging out your nostril. I mean, it's just all over the place. And, you know, you're doing all this and experiencing this ride. Well, now today, you can put on virtual goggles and almost feel the same thing. Okay, you don't have the wind in your face, maybe, but you put those things on, and it feels like your body responds, your mind responds to that virtual reality, and you could be on a roller coaster, and you know, you get the little butterflies in your stomach, and you've gone nowhere. You're sitting in your front room. You're not really on a roller coaster. You're on a couch, but it feels like you're in this other world, but it's a virtual one. It's not reality. And the world will continue to try to distract you away from the presence of God. And that's when the enemy tries to come in and sucker punch all the time. When you let your guard down and when you think everything's okay, that's why he says you must have the mind of Christ. Put the helmet of salvation on and let that be your guide. It can give you this virtual world, a reality that is just that virtual, but it's not authentic. It's not real. But because you think it's real and because you feel it's real, then we react like it's real. And that's why he says, no, your perceptions in life and how you feel and what you think, you must submit them to God, surrender them. How do I do that? By putting on the helmet of salvation. Well, what does that look like, Pastor? How do I just go home and say, Jesus, I'm putting my hat on? You can just say, Jesus, give me the mind of Christ. Today I choose to put the mind of Christ on. I don't even know what that means, Jesus, but I'm trusting you'll show me. And he will. He will. Each and every step of the way. But it still is our choice. Paul in Ephesians says, I want you to place this over your head. Put salvation. What kind of helmet? Helmet of salvation. He says, put this over your head. Now this he's writing to people, by the way, who are already saved. He's writing to people who are already saved. He's not writing to sinners. He's writing to saints. He tells saints to take your helmet and put it on. Well, the implications are this. You can be saved, but ineffective if you don't have on the right mind, the right mindset. He's telling saved people how to think saved is what he's doing. He says it's possible to be a saint, but not think saved. That's why it's easy to have situations in life where we let our mind stray. If you let your mind stray, you'll be in trouble every time. But when you submit that back to God, then you have the mind of Christ. That's why, you know, it's the only illustration I can think of. I'll pick on guys for a minute. You could see a guy looking at a girl, ogling her, looking her up and down, making catcalls and whistles and all that stuff. And you could look at him and say, what is wrong with you? Right? But what if you're that guy and you see the same girl and you looked her up and down, but you didn't make catcalls, you didn't whistle, you didn't say anything, but you gave some room, some space in your mind to think about something that might not be appropriate. Well, who's the pot and who's the kettle? Because they're really the same thing. See, it's all about the mind. The enemy is always after the mind, and at that attack, it's at the core of our problems is our lack of understanding of salvation. Salvation is, yes, about what Jesus did on the cross tree of Calvary, but it's also about the ongoing work that he continues to do in your life. When you look at the word salvation, you'll find that it means it's an ongoing process. Salvation is an all-inclusive word that summarizes all that Christ has provided for us, and the batteries are included. Anyone here ever go on an all-inclusive vacation? Anybody? Okay. I love them. It's not that there's not a cost. You just pay the cost up front. And then when the cost is paid, you go on your vacation and you don't have to worry about anything, pretty much. You just go and you enjoy whatever resort you're going to or whatever ship it is that you're on, and you can eat the food all day long and then have indigestion the rest of the day. You can go and you can partake of all the amenities and all of the entertainment that they have to offer, and it's all just, it's there for the taking. Well, Jesus paid the price for you and for me so that we can have this ongoing, all-inclusive understanding of what it means to not just celebrate what he did on the cross, but to continue to celebrate on a daily basis what he is doing. What he is doing. That you get that when you put on the helmet of salvation. When you change, you get that mindset. Salvation delivers us from the power of hell in the future, but it also delivers us from hell in the present. You know? Salvation says, I'm no longer going to have to worry about hell because I'm heaven bound. But so I'm just going to cross my fingers, grip my teeth, and hold on until Jesus takes me. Well, that's not the kind of life that he's called you to live. He said, I want you in eternity with me, but I want you to experience earth on or heaven on earth while you're there too. Now, can we all agree earth is not a perfect place? We agree? Okay. Bible's very clear about it. It says that this world is, it's going down. But when it goes down, all his sons and daughters go up. But while we live here, he said, I want you to experience that same mindset. And experience that in your homes and in your life. Yeah, there's going to be hard times that come up. Yes, there's going to be trials and tribulations. Yes, there's going to be troubles and bills to pay and all that stuff. But when you have the right mindset, you can tackle almost anything that comes your way when you have the helmet of salvation. Let me review salvation for you. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 says, for by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, that salvation right there. Not as a result of works, so that no one may boast, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand so that we would walk in them. Not just walk in them in heaven, but walk in them here and now. Walk in that gift, in the goodness that God gives. Salvation is by grace through faith unto good works. All this makes up the package called salvation. That's what it is. Colossians 2:6 says, therefore, as you have received Christ the Lord, so walk in him. It's a walk, it's a journey. But you have to make sure that your perceptions are being defined correctly. If they're defined incorrectly, then you'll build on those. But if you build correctly, then you'll be able to become stronger and stronger. The same way you met Christ is the same way you're supposed to walk in Christ each day. And that's by his grace. I don't know about you, but I think I can answer for all of us that when we came to Jesus and gave our hearts to him, it was by grace that we're saved. Anyone here think they earned it, purchased it, deserved it? Well, I think we can all agree there. No, none of us. Not one of us. But because of his grace, we're able to walk in this gift of salvation. So he says, that's been done. Now, he says, walk daily, put on that helmet. Let me be the one that transforms your mind. You know, a lot of us are hunting for things that we already have. Joy, peace, health, happiness. And that's usually when we jump in and go, yeah, but I don't have as much money as I want. I don't have the job I want. You know, my relationships, they're... And we start looking at what's wrong, but how about looking for what's right? How about looking and starting thanking the Lord? Because we ask this question, and it's not a bad question. If I've already got it, all that God's going to give me, then why don't I have it? Think about it. If I've already got it, how come I don't have it? If God has given it to me, why do I feel like it's not there? I don't possess it. I can't find it. Because you're saved through by grace through faith, the way that you access grace by means of faith, the only way to access it is by faith. You can't work harder to get more grace from God. That's what I'm trying to say. You can't get more grace from God, nor should you have to ask him for more grace, because if God has to give you more grace, then you're going to keep asking for more grace every day after that. He says, no, I've covered that. You've got all the grace that you need in your life for whatever it is that you're going through. But what you have to do is learn how to access that grace. That's why it's about relationship. It's not about religion. Religion's going to say, come to church more. God will be happier with you, right? That's what religion says. Oh, give more in the offering plate, and God will, you know, he'll really be charmed by that, right? Treat your neighbors nicer, and then that'll make God smile. You know, I'm just kind of making stuff up here. You get where I'm going with this. My point is simply this. It's good to come to church. It's good to give in the tithes and offerings. It's good to be nice. But if you're doing it so that you can get God to move or get God's more of God's grace, you've missed the whole point because he's given you everything. He's given me everything that we will ever need. We just have to learn how to access it. Think of electricity. Let me illustrate it this way. If you called the electric company, so that'd be Alliant around here, right? You called Alliant and informed them that you bought a new toaster, and you asked them if they would please give you more power, what would they say? They'd do what you're doing right now. They'd laugh. Are you serious? Yes, I bought a new Toastmaster Pro. I need some more power in my home. What they would do is they would tell you that you're crazy because you already have all the power you need to not just run that toaster, but everything else in your home. You and I, we have all the power we need to run everything that we're running in life, as long as we have the helmet of salvation on, as long as we've got our eyes fixed on Jesus. Let me tell you what you can't do. You can't call the electric company and say, yes, I'd like my front room light on. Would you please send somebody by to flip the switch on for me? That's not going to work. It's not going to happen. And if you call them multiple times, you'll probably get a policeman at your door. And it's not going to work. Why? Because that's not what they're there for. They're not there for that reason. They're not going to do that. Not because they don't have power at the electric company, but because you and I are the ones that possess the responsibility to make the connection between the power that we already have been given and accessing it. That's up to us. We must do that. We have to pull that down and tune into what God is saying. Think of it this way. Right now in this room, all of the radio waves and television signals, they're flying through this, right? You can't see them though. You can't hear them. Where are they at? Well, the way that you hear them is by grabbing a radio and you tune it into a specific frequency and it pulls it down, right? Then you can listen to your iHeartRadio. Then you can listen to your 10-whatever.fm. Yeah, you got to access it though. And it's the same with you and me. We have to make sure that we're accessing the grace that's already been given. Quit asking for more and say, Jesus, help me to tap into the grace that's already sufficient for me. It doesn't feel like it, and my world is saying one thing, but I want to know what you have to say. That's what it's like when you put on the helmet of salvation. That's why on-demand TV is such a hit, because on-demand TV simply means you want it, you can get it. But you have to make the effort, that connection, to tune into it. Salvation means we relate to God based on grace, on what Jesus has already done, not based on performance or what we do, but upon grace and what he's done. Let me close with this. The difference between expressing faith and what God's already done means that we're leaning into his completed and finished work. When you came, when I came to Jesus, he created a brand new you, right? Old things have passed away. Behold, all things are new. In our world, we have a system through our federal government called the Witness Protection Program. They change your identity is what they do because someone is out to get you. Usually, you go into witness protection because you know something that other people don't want you to repeat. And so you're taken in to this whole process of Witness Protection Program. They change your identity because somebody is trying to take you out. They want you to become something totally different without changing you. You know, they're not changing you physically, but they want to change everything else from your identity to where you live, to the job that you do. They want you to think in terms of the new you, not the old you. That's what it means. And you're going to have to get used to, if you're in the Witness Protection Program, and if you are, please don't raise your hand and wave at me because that'll just nullify the whole thing, right? But if you're in the Witness Protection Program, you're going to have to get used to functioning in that newness that they've created. You're used to being called by your old name. But in this new situation, because somebody is after you. We want to deliver you, the government would say, from that person that's after you. And the only way that we can do that is to change who you are. We're going to change your identity. Now, we can understand that when we watch a TV program or we know something because somebody went through it or something like that. We get that, but this is exactly what's happening when we say we want the mind of Christ. Until we get used to functioning in the new you, the new us, in the grace that's already provided and sufficient, and walk in that, you're going to make yourself vulnerable to the one that's trying to get you, which is the enemy. Again, he just wants to steal, kill, and destroy. He doesn't care how, just that he gets it done. What God is trying to tell you is that in spiritual battle, in spiritual warfare, which sometimes can feel like every day of your life, can it? He says, there's somebody after you. But the one that stands before you is greater than anything in this world. You don't have to fear. You don't have to worry. You don't have to fret. Be anxious for nothing. Because though that enemy is there, he is already defeated. He's already defeated. The hitman cannot get you. Because when you put on the helmet of salvation, the mind of Christ, he won't know where you're at. He won't know where you're at. 1 Corinthians 15, Paul says, I am what I am by the grace of God. That's how Paul, remember Paul in the early days? Murderer. Now he's writing 13 books of the New Testament. How did that happen? A new Paul. You've heard my testimony. Jim that used to be years ago, he was a jerk. And I'm just going to leave it at that. Now there's a new Jim. He's better. Way better, but it's a new Jim. There's a new thing that God does. And he will transform your heart. You see, grace is something that God gives to you, and it makes you more committed, more excited, more generous, and more obedient. That's freedom. Point number three, write this down, and then we'll get ready to wrap it up here. When you have the helmet of salvation, it's protection for the present as well as the future. When you have the mind of Christ, it will protect you. And I've already kind of mentioned this, but it will protect you. It's not just about having that mind so that you can make it to heaven, but it's so that you can have victory in the present, in the here and now. What I'd like you to do is take some time this week and read. I put it in your outlines there. Romans chapter 5, verses 6 through 10, because it's a powerful verse, but this is where it says that while we were still sinners, and at the right time, God came and he died for those who are ungodly. And my question is this. If God can do so much by his death, how much more do you think he can do by his life, his living, in us and through us? If he can save us by his death, how much more can he save us in his life? What is he saving us from? Because when we think of wrath, we think of hell, of, you know, but he says, even here and now, he says, I bring that salvation to you. I remember a time when Seth was young, just a little boy. And he had to go to the doctor and he had to get some shots. And because when I think of what the enemy does, it's the same thing. I saw it right in this doctor's office. The enemy is going to try to distract you. He's going to try to get you to get your eyes off Jesus, off anything else except Jesus. Seth went into the doctor's and he had to get a shot. And he wasn't too fond of that. I don't know any person that's really fond of shots. I remember as a little boy, I went to the doctor and I had to get a shot and they were trying to be clever and didn't know that I could spell yet. And they said, well, nurse, we're going to have to give him 100 cc's of an SHOT. And I sat there and I thought, the heck's an SHOT? Shot? And man, I was not about that. And he tried to be clever, but this doctor, when I had Seth, he had to get a shot. And Seth was not happy, not happy at all. Here's what the doctor did. He pulled down this box full of lollipops. And there were so many colors inside that box, so many flavors. And he said, Seth, would you like a lollipop? And Seth was like, yes, please. And he focused on those things and he says, listen, you know we got to do this, but, and I'm sorry, buddy, but I tell you what, if you'll do this, we'll go through this, I'll give you a lollipop. I'll give you two if you want. Okay. And he grabbed in there and he reached and he grabbed one. He had one in one hand and he had one in the other already unwrapped. And when he grabbed that lollipop and put it in his mouth, right at that point where his eyes are the biggest and the brightest, he's just excited. Wham, they hit him with the shot. And he put that in his mouth. Ah! He popped it on. He started screaming. Ah! But he looked at his lollipop and he went, ah! Pull it back out. Oh, hey, lollipop. I forgot about that. Put it back in. And then he was like, oh. And it kind of calmed down. Before you know it, he's smiling again. And everything was all right. Now, I know the enemy. He wants to steal, kill, and destroy. He wants to hurt you and me. He wants to bring tears and misery to your life. But Jesus is saying, remember your lollipop. Remember the grace that is sufficient in all things. Remember that I already have not only declared victory, but I've given it to you as my sons and my daughters. And when you're under attack, put on the helmet of salvation. Remember that all God's going to do, he's already done. And let the sweetness of his grace just overcome the pain of your problems. Well, I don't know if I can do that. You can do it. It's will you allow that? Let the grace of God just overcome the pain of your problems and bring relief into your life. Choose a mindset that lines up with his truth. Let your perceptions be the same that Christ thinks about you. Receive his protection, not just for the future, but for the present, for the here and now. You put the helmet on. Will you pray with me? Jesus, I thank you so much for your Holy Spirit. I thank you for your love, your grace and mercy. And Lord, I pray for each and every person that's here today and that is going through a season where there just seems to be an ongoing attack. Lord God, we know as long as we live and love and breathe, the enemy's going to come at us. But Jesus, we remind ourselves today that greater is he that's within us than anything else in this world. And Lord, we stand firm like you told us in Ephesians 6. And we take that truth, that righteousness, that peace, we've got our shield. And now, Lord, we understand that it's about a mindset. Jesus, help us with that. Forgive us when it gets off and just bring us back. We just submit that to you in your name. Amen.
Amen.